Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Happy day after the Love Island reunion day to all who celebrate. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and I won't be talking about it on today's episode because, you know, it aired at 9 p.m. last night, but I'll talk about it on Friday's episode. And I'm also on the Comments by Celebs podcast as a guest co-host this week talking about the reunion. We recorded it actually after the reunion aired last night, so we went late into the night for people who listen to that podcast. Look out for that sometime this week. I will say, I think it's very interesting timing that we had two of the final three couples, Iris and Pepe, and then the winners, Amaya and Brian, unfollow one another in the 48 hours leading up to the reunion airing. It had already taped, and they'd already done a lot of their press and all that kind of stuff, but then they unfollow one another right before the reunion airs. I mean, again, you guys, if you're diehard Love Island people, you already know what the answer to this, but it obviously makes you think, like, all right, one, did something happen at the reunion, which I kind of doubt that anything at the reunion is going to explain these unfollowings, because obviously the unfollowings kind of reflect probably they broke up. For me, it's a little bit more sus than that. I'm like, all of a sudden, we're unfollowing after the reunion taped, so we don't have to talk about any drama, but before it airs, it kind of takes a little bit of the air out of the room, right? Because like, I assume that I'm going to be watching a reunion where it's like Amaya and Brian, you know, professing their love for one another. Maybe same for Iris and Pepe. So I'm a little like, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm a little bit sus about it. Maybe we'll find out more this week, but that's sort of where I am right now with it. Anyway, today on the show, we have Courtney, who is one half of the Two Judgy Girls. Two Judgy Girls is a great Bravo Focus podcast and also Instagram page. They're the account that does the March Madness draw every March. Instead of March Madness, they do a bracket of all the hot guys in and around Bravo. That's the account. I'm sure you've seen it if you're active on Instagram in Bravo content. She's one half of that account. So I had the privilege of guest co-hosting on two episodes of Two Judgy Girls recently because her co-host Mary is out on maternity leave. So I'm repaying the favor with Courtney on Gabbing with Gib today. We have a good rapport together and there are some things that we very much differ on. So I think it makes for a fun chat. And we got into the latest episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County and The Real Housewives of Miami, which aired back to back on Thursday. I hope it doesn't feel too late. But the turnaround to a Friday publish after a Thursday night airing is pretty much impossible. Hence why you'll hear me complain about, you know, the two housewives on right now airing back to back on Thursday nights of all nights. So I hope you enjoy this kind of slightly belated commentary. I still think it feels pretty fresh. But there were two big episodes of either franchise on Thursday. So there was a lot to talk about with Courtney and we definitely got into it for up to an hour. So keeping it short up top here today, but I hope you all have a relaxed week before the holiday weekend and keep listening for my chat with Courtney. Check out Two Judgy Girls wherever you get your podcasts, and please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you again on Friday. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Courtney from Two Judgy Girls. I was just on two episodes of her amazing podcast talking about the current shows airing. And so I had to have Courtney back on my podcast to break down two pretty kind of layered and big episodes of Orange County and Miami that we got this week. So Courtney, thanks for being here. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, sometimes like people will come on ours and then I'm like, but do they like really want to hang out with me again? So I'm excited.
Yeah, no, we've coexisted in this Bravo podcaster world for a while now together, but And we've been trying to make it happen. And finally the stars aligned. And I'm so happy they have.
Me too, because I also agree. Like, I felt these were like, it pains me that these episodes are on back to back because I think that are. I've had this conversation about why people aren't watching Miami. I can't figure out why, but that's neither here nor there. But it's like they're delivering such strong episodes that having them back to back, I feel like, is a disservice for those that are like locked in on these seasons. I need something else during my week. It's too much of a high for both.
And it's also, I do these like listener mailbag episodes, and one came out today, and two of the questions were directly about why the fuck did they move to Miami to right after Orange County on Thursdays, which is like in the summer, like I'm more likely to have plans on Thursday. Like it's like harder to, and it's harder for the release schedule. Why do you have any idea why they did this?
I think, well, I would assume it's because Miami maybe is not pulling in the live ratings, and so they want OC as a lead-in.
Yeah, I figured that too.
And I assume as well is that we are getting programming that's coming. Like, I always feel like every year around BravoCon, they stack all these things. Like, we get premieres, we get trailers, we get all this stuff, like, lead-in. So I think Vanderpump starts, like, right before BravoCon. So it's like, they're almost opening it up to throw, like, we're going to have too much. We'll be too full from all the shows that they're going to be feeding
and
us.
Then it becomes really stressful. It's like, I like being more balanced out, you know?
Me too. It's like, I always joke, like, I'm like, okay, we complain about one thing and then they go, you know, give us like the total other side of the spectrum. I'm like, wait, hold on. I want to go back to that. I didn't know how good I had it when I wasn't like stressed out about missing a night of TV.
Literally. I know. So, I mean, listen, beggars can't be choosers, but it's not my ideal schedule right now with the viewing, but Orange County, it picks back up with Tamara has just quit, or she just stormed out of the dinner, posts the Instagram story.
We're going to air quote quit.
Yeah, air quote quit. And it's just funny because they just like continue the trip. Like they kind of like, they sort of laugh about the post she did from the airport where she like puts the mental health is health is wealth sticker or whatever it said.
With a Kelly Clarkson song.
Is that what it had on it?
She had like a Kelly Clarkson song, like Catch My Breath or something like that as the music.
Okay, wow. That's very on the nose. But,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, keep me in the NBC Universal family too. Thank you.
thank God. Yes, thank God. Kelly Clarkson show host Kelly Clarkson. Put some respect on the name.
Yes.
So, and I feel like not much else happens on the rest of this trip. We have like this kind of like annoying Gina freak out about like the anxiety on the boat, and then like, but also Shannon's also being really kind of like annoying
what
about like showing
up
late. It was kind of weird, right? Like what was with the eyelashes?
All of them are talking about lash glue, which is like so funny to me. As a woman, like I can't do eyelash, like my eyes are so sensitive, so I can't put lashes on. So I'm also very jealous of women that can always do this. And we've had so many eyelash lines on Bravo too, which is like hilarious. I'm like, I can think of three off the top of my head of Sheena, Tinsley, and Jenna Lyons. Yep. But it's like, they're so concerned about it. I'm like, you guys are all wearing sunglasses. Like, what are we?
So true.
And I'd also mentioned earlier this week when I was talking with OC earlier in the week, and I was saying, it's like, it's so funny to me because this trip, I was like, when are they going on a gator tour? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see their faces like pulled back a bit in the wind and like, and their extensions going wild. And I don't feel like we spent that much time there either.
No, we didn't. But we did get this really great little shady editing moment when the guy is talking about how male alligators are deadbeat dads. And then it just has this really quick cut to Gretchen, which just was perfect.
And I'm like, we should all just start calling Slade alligator. Yes. Alligator smiley, like
there
that
we go.
Should just
it
be
kinda works.
Emily
kinda
said to do. Yeah, I kind of love it. I just, there are so many like little funny things that editors do on all of these shows that just make me laugh because it's like, if you catch it, hilarious, and if you miss it, it doesn't mess with the plot.
No, at all. And if you miss it, one of the fan accounts will post it, and you won't miss it the day after. So,
oh my god, I know I'm skipping ahead, but you had posted it and it made me laugh so hard that Larsa and Mary Cosby pickup that they did, that where Larsa was like, I would unfollow my grandfather, and then it was a photo of Mary Cosby and being like, there's two type of women in this world.
Screamed.
I have never laughed hard because it took me a second to be like, oh, grandpa fucker, and then I'm following my grandpa. Like, there are two type of women.
Literally, there's two types of anybody in this world, and it's,
and for someone to pick that up, I'm sorry, I'm taking us off the track.
No, but the fandom's mind can really bring true gifts to us all. And that was one of them for sure. That was one of them for sure. But I feel like the rest of the trip wasn't that notable. They went to this dinner and Gretchen's just sort of like defending Katie. And they're still talking about this whole thing with the blogger and Kiki Monique. And
is Kiki getting a payday?
I hope so. She's appearing on next episode. So
I mean, it's so crazy. Also, though, at that dinner, one of the funny things was too, is literally watching Gina try not to choke on an oyster.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
While they're while they're talking about how much they talk too much, like Emily and Heather. And I'm like, is anyone going to, we're just going to let that go? We're going to let that go. Okay. All right. But I need to talk about this blogger storyline because it is.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
It is so confusing because I was like kind of convinced that Tamara had somewhat started to try to get ahead of all the naked waste and stuff. And I don't know if I'm totally unconvinced yet, except that I do know, I think I know. Did Gretchen and Slade actually start it?
So my read on it, based on what we saw on this most recent episode is that Gretchen did tell Katie at this group dinner, this three couples dinner with Katie, Jen, and Gretchen and their spouses, that the morning after Naked Wasted, she really felt sick, went to the hospital, and a toxicology report said that she had drugs in her system. And I feel like...
How sick was she? I don't mean this in like a rude way, but I don't know. A hangover? Like, was she going in for an IV? Like, she had to be... Not that I don't think she was severely drunk. I've seen the episode, but like, she went to the hospital?
I know. And as I was talking to another podcaster, and he was like, there should be like proof somehow that Gretchen even went to the hospital. Like, but we obviously get this moment in the episode that shows that Gretchen has been lying about this, where she whispers to Tamara in the car at one point on the New Orleans trip, I did go to the hospital. And then the producers cut, thankfully, to Gretchen's confessional where she said, I never went to the hospital. And so she clearly did go to the hospital.
You know, these women drink their martinis and they don't eat the food and then they don't remember what they said.
Yes. And that's great for us because we get the producer checks. We get them lying.
Yeah.
And so Gretchen's caught in a lie there. So I do believe they told Katie this. Yeah, and so I believe that Katie then repeated it to Kiki Monique.
But did Gretchen tell her to or not? That's where
I'd love to know.
Yeah. Like, that's the twist that I'm like, is she covering for Gretchen? Because Gretchen kind of was like, Katie says, oh, I'm going to get lunch with Kiki. And Gretchen's like, if you want to mention it, or is she just a chatty Kathy?
Right. I think she is a chatty Kathy. And I think one of the issues in this whole thing is like later in the episode, Katie talks about how she feels like a pawn in this whole thing and they really used her. But she lets herself be used and manipulated so easily. And that's really one of my biggest issues with her, because I feel like there are things about her that I do genuinely like and enjoy, and I think there are promising about her. And then there's so much of this where it's like, one, say this at the table. Like, we've been talking about this at several dinners, and you have lied and said that Gretchen never told you such a thing. And I think that Katie is getting off on not technically lying, because Gretchen maybe didn't ever say that Tamara roofied her, you know, and maybe Katie didn't tell Kiki Monique that Gretchen thinks that Tamara roofied her. But she did say that she woke up the next morning with drugs in her system. And so, like, what's the implication there? You know what I mean? It's like, I think they're getting off on these technicalities and semantics. And it's like, we're not idiots. I hate when they do this.
I also feel, too, is that, like, Katie's, like, biggest crime is not talking to these bloggers, right? Which they all keep saying is, like, you're talking to the bloggers. Like, you guys all do that. Because Gina literally had one of their phone numbers to call them and confirm,
the credible
right?
journalist, quote unquote.
Credible journalist. Like, and then I'm like, and how does the credible journalist have this story? Like, was Kiki talking to them or was Katie talking?
I don't know.
Like, I don't understand what the timeline is of the whole thing. And then it's like, you guys all talk to them. So like, Katie, your biggest fault is not necessarily that you talk to these bloggers, right? Which they're harping on. It's like, you guys need to harp on the fact that she's like a liar. And I know that they do, but it's seemingly that they're holding on to the blogger storyline more so than Katie being a liar. Though I don't think that Katie is lying.
I think she did lie about she was covering for Gretchen because Slade called Matt and asked her to cover for her. But she still, again, she did lie about it. She has said that she, I mean, maybe it's not technically lying because she didn't say roofied, but she is lying. She's misrepresenting the truth at best, I think.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, I'm like, it's kind of like semantics. Like, I was talking about this with Ben from Watch What Crappens, and we were saying like, okay, well, Heather did lie about the paparazzi, whether she wants to admit it or not. Come on, those are staged photos, right? I really do think that Gina actually in some way, not that maybe she was using Heather for her connections, but it doesn't hurt that Heather has connections if she wants to use it for real estate. And I'm sure maybe definitely just got misconstrued, right? Shannon, she says she like didn't record because she really didn't do anything with the recording that ended up going anywhere, but she like did, but like Shannon, she wouldn't have recorded if you like didn't get to that point. Like, I guess it's just like all semantics for me of like, she's technically not lying because Gretchen asked her to cover for her. So it's like, there's nuance in everything in a way that I'm just, and so it's like, she's lying, but she's not. So she needs to, Katie's biggest mistake is just not laying it out all on the table of like, yeah, I did these things, but it's really not that big of a deal when you look at it in the long run, because it just might have been a misuse of words. This is a really bad game of telephone.
A really bad game of telephone. She defends herself really poorly. And I feel like in her first season, I'm like, okay, I get it. You're new here. But at this point, I'm like, Katie, you got it. Like, you're kind of like that's, I think, what's frustrating to me, to like, I can't get fully on board with her because she doesn't, at the dinner table, you got to just like fucking
say your piece. There's no alliances. You have to save yourself. Like, it's a dog eat dog.
And clearly
dog
nobody's
world.
Defending you, Katie. You know what right. I mean? Like, it's like, Gretchen is sort of is using you, but she's not going to defend. She's not really going to defend you.
Gretchen's there until she realizes that her plan is backfiring. So that's why she has the get together with Jen and Emily at Goat Tavern, which Goat Hill Tavern, by the way, is like this dive bar in Orange County. Okay. Like they've gone here a couple of times on this show.
Yeah. They went here last season.
And it's so funny to me because every time I see it, I'm like, do you know how many times I have been there in my, like, and just like in my like young 20s. And then they're all there like glam to the gods, you know? And I'm like, enjoy standing up at the table because it's too sticky to sit down.
I'm dead. That is, no, it's, I honestly love the juxtaposition of that. It's great.
Totally. But it's also like we were saying too, it's like, you know, when you're like, you watch a New York show and they go to places in New York that you've like been to, there's like, it kind of makes you love it a little bit more of like, oh, okay, these are like local haunts I've been to or I've had dinner there. Like,
whatever. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Summer House was filming yesterday at a bar around the corner from my old apartment. I'm like, amazing. LOL. Like, yeah. Like 23-year-olds go there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, but to bring it back to that, I was saying, like, you know, I will go on tangents. Please bring me back in.
Oh, I love this. No.
But I'm like, Gretchen was smart because she's played this game before. She's like, okay, I got to cut Katie now. I'm going to get Emily because Emily will tell Tamara, and that's actually who I need the message to get to, but I can't go straight to Tamara because we're quote unquote feuding.
Yes.
So like, Katie, you're done.
But then I get back to this, the other sort of unanswered part for me is like, Tamara finding out about it and getting I think somebody I wish I remembered who exactly, but somebody replied on Twitter to me and they were like, well, it really feels like Gretchen and Jen had this plan to like kind of take Tamara down by kind of bringing this, by planting all these seeds and stuff.
Yep.
But Tamara got wind of it much earlier than they expected. So their ducks were not in a row.
100%.
And so so she kind of nipped their plan in the bud by that's why she brings it up, because I think on the surface, you're like, why would Tamara bring up an accusation that she roofied somebody 15 years ago? You know what I mean? Like, why would she bring that up herself? It's because she needs the Gretchen and Jen plan to not come to fruition.
Because Tamara doesn't have friends. She has alliances, right? So like Tamara's game is, I will give you a piece of information and take you off the hot seat if you go ahead and take your alliance out, and we'll be a team because the enemy of my enemy is my friend right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what I feel like is going on. And so, but it's like, yeah, Tamara, because Tamara also does, I can't stand Tamara, but you do have to respect in the way of how she plays the game. Like, she's like,
See,
she's,
you and I differ on Tamara, and I love it.
I know. I can't stand her, but I do have to recognize that she's like kind of plays the Lindsay Hubbard game of like, I want to keep pieces of information until filming happens, because if I need to drop it, I'm going to take you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he doesn't have any friends. I'm sorry. I do not believe that Tamara has friends in real life, because everything is always such a
game. I don't really
pay
attention to her. I would agree with that.
I'm blocked, so I actually have no idea.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. We've
okay, you're that. Oh, yeah. You know,
yeah,
badge
I mean,
of honor.
Also, like, it's not like I ever would comment on, I'd never comment on anything. I'm sure if she maybe saw things or things were forwarded to her from like things that we've said, maybe she blocks it. But I'm like, I will never talk shit to your face. I do it behind your back like a normal person, you know?
Exactly.
So, but she blocks it. But I have to assume like Teddy's not her friend. Teddy's her business partner.
Sure. Yeah. They're friends through business. Right. Yeah. And like, but to me though, it's like, I like what Tamara represents for the show, because I think that without her, nothing would be happening. But
I'm coming around.
But I completely understand. And like, I have no judgment for people that, I'm not a judgy girl about people who dislike Tamara. I'm not like that much on board with her. It's just like, I appreciate her presence on the show. But I do think it's interesting. And I replied to you on Threads about this. Like, really feel like Tamara's the only one that didn't really lie here, in my perspective. Like, to me, even if Katie is technically not lying, I think she's lying. I think that Gretchen lied. Jen is lying on this. She's protecting Gretchen too. Like, she was at that dinner and says that she's kind of had conflicting statements about what she knows about Naked Wasted. And what Tamara has said in this situation in particular.
Sure.
It's not wrong. It's not.
Vindicated, but still vindictive, I will say, onto that. But I said to you,
of course.
Anything with Tamara, I'll move the goalposts. I'm very well aware of like the nonsense that I spew here, by the way. Like, I know that I'm like,
I don't
you know
even
what?
Think it's nonsense. I just, you know.
I just also feel I'm like, none of this would even be a situation if Naked Wasted didn't happen, right?
Absolutely. So,
like,
that's correct.
At the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I'm moving the goalpost because the whole situation is still from Tamara. So I don't feel bad not, like, someone's like, you better eat some crow. You thought Tamara, oh, eat crow? Hell no. I'll just find another reason why I don't like her, because she still did this whole thing. The whole thing is still there. The mm-hmm. Roofie storyline is kind of wild if Gretchen made it up and there's no toxicology report. And I'm also like, you guys, unfortunately, you guys are getting outplayed by Tamara again.
Yeah, she's playing chess and they're playing checkers right now.
And it's like, I want a Tamara's takedown season. I think when they go after Tamara and someone gives her a taste of her own medicine, I actually think that's the best formula for me, because I don't like her always having control of everybody. So I appreciate the fact that Gretchen's trying. But again, Tamara, she got him.
That's why I said last season a lot. I'm like, there was nobody taking it to Tamara in the way that she was taking it to everybody else. It's like, why didn't Shannon, mm-hmm. it's a low blow, but why didn't Shannon bring up the kids and like her, you know what I mean? Like, that's such an yes. easy, if you really want to hit Tamara in the way that she hits you, you know what yeah. I mean? So I do commend the effort, but I also mm-hmm. think that one of the big issues with even just like, let's say this had kind of really come to fruition and worked, like, it's still so in the weeds. It's way too reliant on this, like, ecosystem that we're both a part of, like,
yeah.
that kind of commentates on these shows, and we know that everyone's in contact with different people at different times, but like, that's not interesting TV. It's not about anything that anybody's done that we can watch happen. It's all about like, who repeated this, and that's the wrong direction for OC to be going in. It really is.
I agree. And it's also just like I'm actually glad that Kiki's going to be on next week, because I'm like, she doesn't get to say her side on the show, right? So you either have to go find where Kiki's potting from, or you have to follow her account, or you need to see like what she's saying. If you miss that because it's on social or you don't listen or whatever, you're not getting the full story. So the totally. Fact that she's coming on next week, I think, is like in her benefit for this. But I'm also, at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, this is such a crazy, like, weird storyline to be having that I'm like, it just... I don't like it.
Yeah. And I'm glad she's saying her piece, but also it's her having to come into their territory. And like, she's still at the behest of the editing. And like, you know what I mean? So that's still it's tough. It's really honestly tough. And I just think that this kind of stuff is why Jersey was put on pause. And I don't think OC is close to that, but like, we have to like not continue in this direction after this season, because this
almost
is not
Bravo
what it's about.
Bravo maybe should like put a clause in of like, there's a difference of being like friendly with like podcasters, bloggers, or you go on their pod and you like give your side of the story, and like, especially like, you have so many guests on yours, right? And you're like pretty impartial in a way of like allowing them to tell their story, which is so lovely, because I think that makes it for such a safe space. Those are the kind of things that should be like sanctioned in a way, and not necessarily this behind the scenes of like, show me a DM. Oh,
right.
There's a video chat missed call. Oh, we have to blur out whoever they were talking to because they didn't give permission, but it's moving
it's so
the storyline.
It's so tedious.
Like there's
it's
a, just... I need Adriana's like Inspector Gadget hat to put on to find all the details of what's going on so I can investigate.
Literally.
Like,
yeah. It's
a
just...
full-time job.
And if we can't figure it out, then like, again, like the really casual viewer, like they must be really, really confused.
I would love to, because like I need to chat with like my Bravo chat group and ask their opinions on it. Because, yeah, I'm like, I get too involved in the sense of where I'm like, OK, I can see why this is going there. But I'm like, if someone who just kind of pops in, maybe they watch it on Saturday, hungover on their couch, I'm like, what are you guys thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What are mm-hmm. you thinking? What, or like, am I so off base, or is this like coming across? Because some people will be like, obviously, that's what happened. I'm like, oh, OK, I thought I had a nuanced take, but like I didn't. Like, but then sometimes it's like, oh, it's not as clear to the average viewer what's going on, because
no.
they don't follow 150 different Bravo accounts or Bravo related accounts or Bravo Lab accounts to know what's happening.
And that should not, you shouldn't have to like have the whiteboard out to connect the dots to follow these shows. That's when it's too much.
Yeah.
And that's when they have to pull it back.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear, to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve, because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized, insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athletic-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps?
You got this!
And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
The last thing I want to bring up is, it was interesting towards the end of this episode when we had that Katie confessional where she was like, they asked her about the situation and she starts talking and then she goes, wait. Am I telling the truth right now or am I protecting Gretchen? And I thought that was so...
What a soundbite.
It was a really interesting moment. And I kind of feel like my read on that, just to share...
Please.
Is I think that was one of the later film confessionals. So I think that she filmed that later after she's fully fallen out with Jen and Gretchen.
Yeah.
But because they film confessionals like at so many different times... She was asking the producer, essentially, wait, should I be acting as if this is earlier in the season or later in the season?
Oh, we're getting like a fourth wall break right
that's
there.
That's sort of what I thought that was.
That's a great... I mean, that makes total sense. I love that.
And how
Look at you with your hat on.
I have my fucking hat on. But how fascinating is that? That's how this works. Like, am I telling the truth or protecting Gretchen right now? Like, that's a crazy thing to say on a mic.
I'm also like this reunion. I don't know if you saw it too, but some of the after show for OC picks came out today. Katie's by herself, filming by
fully
herself.
Fully by herself. Oh,
she's
shit.
By herself. It's Gretchen and Tamara. It is, or no,
Gretchen,
I'm sorry.
Gretchen and Tamara.
Gretchen and Jen. So sorry. I know.
Okay.
I got my blonde.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Tamara, Emily, Gina, and then Shannon and Heather.
Okay. That makes sense. But Katie alone is rough. That's rough.
Katie alone is rough because it's like, in real life right now, apparently her and Tamara are kind of in an alliance, but you can't have them sit with each other right now because there obviously is like this whole story, Rufy storyline. And then it's like the whole thing is so crazy because these, the thing that that Tamara does is she will just take whatever alliance, any, she'll just take a number. Like, I need to have the majority.
Right.
And so the fact that she's got Katie on her side right now, I'm like, this reunion's going to be insane because we know that Katie doesn't go to Amsterdam with the group. It seems like she might stop filming at a certain point. And so it's like, this is going to be, I think, an explosive reunion.
I actually temporarily forgot that she doesn't go on the trip. And she kind of has this weird ending to the season. But it's interesting because, like, on Watch Happens Live and she's doing press, like, she's still very much engaged with it, so it doesn't seem like she's done with it necessarily. But it's just Tamara, if Tamara is her lifeline on this show for the next season, that's a wild plot twist.
Yes. Did you see that one clip that's been floating around about her, like, almost PR person, Katie's almost PR person? What are your thoughts on that? Because I was kind of like, if I was gonna hire you, I would not.
No, I thought it was a terrible look for that guy. I thought that he was like spilling all this crazy stuff. And I actually, it was posted by, I think, Bravo Snark Side, like that account that posts like the snarky page.
Mm-hmm.
And I had watched the first clip, but I hadn't done the sort of swipe. And it was sent to a group that I'm in. And I went back to click into it and watch it again, watch the full thing. And the sound had been taken out. And I think it's back. I think the clip is back online, but this is actually a little tea.
Yeah, please.
Somebody told me that Katie actually sent a cease and desist to him about that clip.
Okay, honestly, as she should.
Oh, I think it's crazy that he used to be her unofficial PR person. Like, I wouldn't want you to represent me as a PR person if you're saying that. Like, that was
not
wild. That was
not
wild.
Not at all. Yeah, like, he basically was saying, like, she was like, can I be, like, a co-host on... And all these people are always, like, giving information without showing the proof. So I'm like, show me a text that says that. Also, though, you're a terrible PR person if you're giving that. Like, also, I used to work in PR. You can't give that stuff. Like,
think ahead though for your career. Like, why are you sharing this so off the cuff like this?
Exactly. Like, it threw me off so much where I was like, what? You're blowing your career because why? Even if I have an NDA, I don't know that I trust you. Like, that's crazy. And like, also, it felt like a low hanging fruit because it's like, obviously everybody is like ganging up on Katie right now, which to me, I'm like, nobody on this cast right now is likable for me in a, like, everyone's a loser, but it's makes me enjoy the show. But I'm like, but you have me rooting for Katie because everyone's so against her. And like, as soon as like it all starts moving towards one person, like, well, now I like them.
Yeah. The gang ups never work. It's kind of wild that so many Housewives casts still have not learned that the gang up really never goes the way the mob mentality wants it to go.
It's like, you guys know the formula. And so for some reason, you think that you're so right that the audience is going to agree with you, not realizing that you could be right, but editing is going to make, like, editing plays no favorites unless you're Sheena Shea and you get that one editor who hated you so much, you know?
Oh my God, never forget. Oh my God,
never forget.
Crazy.
But it's like, so, I don't know.
And Courtney, before we go to Miami.
Yes.
Just a really important shout out to a man named Cody, the waiter.
Oh, what a man. What a man. What a mighty fine man.
And I posted about him on the Gabbing with Gib Instagram page. And you know what one of the big comments was? Hey, at two judgy girls, I think you have a March Madness inductee for next season.
I feel terrible because I had to respond because they posted it in a story too. And I had to DM and say, I'm so sorry. We don't do side characters anymore. We used to have Brad the dog trainer. But then it was like, there's too many, like, I don't want to call them random because they're human beings. But like,
but
there were
random.
Too many side characters that it was like, we have to just focus on house husbands and main cast members. But he was, I mean, the fact that Heather and Tamara.
He was a fine man.
Tamara, they had to stop their conversation to recognize his beauty.
That's when you know.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, where's that restaurant? Next time I visit my mom, I'm going. I'll be there.
Go there and then go to that dive bar. That's a good doubleheader.
Also, like, I need to go. A late
bring
night
him, bring him. Bring him with you. You know,
perfect. I'm like, he can't be a March Madness, but like, maybe he could be my boyfriend.
There we go.
You know, we'll see. I'm doing my
own. Love in a hopeless place on Real Housewives of Orange County. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Let's talk about Miami. The Lisa dog pile, which is just like so wild to watch, just continues. Like, we're in the middle of this dinner where she's trying to find an online notary because she has like 30 minutes to do so. And Larsa's like, she's ruining the vibe. She's rude.
Go sit in the corner. Everyone who doesn't ruin the vibe, you could stay here. Everyone who ruins the vibe, go sit in the corner.
She's unreal. It's just, it's like, it's honestly caricature. And I know it's terrible, but I still like, it's funny to watch. It is.
What power does she have over this cast?
I don't know.
It's kind of crazy to me that they're like, so like Stephanie, like, falls under her. Like, I don't understand. And I love Lisa so much. Like,
yeah, me too.
I recognize Lisa as selfish, but I think we talked about this. Like, Gertie and Lisa are like my top like housewives for Miami, just on likability. And I'm like, I do believe that Lenny would give her 1 hour.
Yes, me too.
To find a notary. And like, I'm sorry, those texts from Jody to Larsa were not bad. It was like, leave Lisa alone so she can get this taken care of. Like, why are we fighting? Like, the texts are like, can we not fight?
It's this funny thing, this a lot of the cast taking this, like, a man shouldn't be texting his girlfriend's friend or former friend. And that's one of those like weird, like old school things that some of the women on these shows get latched onto. It's like kind of a backwards, like old school, like, oh, a man shouldn't text a woman. And it's like, they're not sexting.
Right. It's not inappropriate. It's like, can you be nice to my girlfriend for like 10 minutes so she can get this shit done? Like, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want this. Why is that a bad thing?
And the treatment of Lisa on this trip is so wild to me. It's like, I do think that she needs to get her shit together on being late. Like, it's kind of like, it made me laugh later in the episode when she's like, I'm skipping dinner. And then they're like, Lisa, Marisol had told her to come in at dinner. And then she still shows up late to dinner after all that. I'm like,
Only an hour.
And one of them said 2 hours. One of them said 2 hours. Listen, she looks amazing. And it's giving, sorry, I was late. I was in glam. Famous Dorit quote, but as Adriana said about unfollowing Marcus later in the episode, she was like, you're actually giving them something to hold against you by not unfollowing him. And by her continuing to show up late, show up early and blow their mind.
Did you see her clip from the after show where she's like, guys, I'm early, I'm ready?
Yes,
early.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, and that's why I love Lisa, to play into it, right? And it's like,
absolutely.
But I'm also like, she's literally divorcing this monster, okay? Lenny, I think everybody on that cast can agree to, like, Lenny is a monster. Like, do I think he, like, puts her through hoops and, like, does all this crap to make her life more terrible? Absolutely. Like, that is his end game. He wants to ruin her. He does not want to give her a dime of anything. He would like to have these lawyers take up money, penny after penny from her. He's terrible. And it's like, we're on a trip to Sevilla because Alexia might divorce her the husband she's very in love with, when it's like, Gertie survived cancer. We can't celebrate a trip for her. Like, Lisa's literally going through this divorce and we can't give her a break in this. We have to like cater to Alexia. Like, they just are so, which also is why it makes it a phenomenal housewife show
of
as
course.
Well. But it's like, you guys all have your priorities so strange. Like, Lisa to me is so harmless at the end of the day.
It's so harmless. And it's also just like, I would understand, I think, the perspective of like, oh my God, like, can this fucking saga be over? Like, of course. But like, Lisa also wants it to be over. It's not like it's not like Lisa wants to be doing this still. Like,
no, I agree.
And so, and she's also, as she said, after Kiki was like, you're always bringing up Lenny last season, she wasn't really bringing him up at all, genuinely.
Exactly.
This, though. And so, like,
she was so much lighter this season.
Yeah. And also, it's not, again, it's out of her control that this is still happening. They want her to suffer in silence, basically. And I think that is like really, that's not really being a good friend to her.
Agreed. But then, like, we want Alexia to tell us everything and we want to hear it. So it's like, you guys have double standards for everyone. It's kind of messed up. Like, Lisa, like, yeah, Lisa would love to not deal. All Lisa wants to do is, like, look hot and get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, that, right. Like, Lisa, like, just wants to be a party girl. And you guys are not helping her do that. Like, I love that Gertie took control of the situation. It was like, Jody, don't text Alexia. Not worth it. Don't talk to Larsa. Not worth it. Okay, notary first. Let's get this done. Let's get you on the way. Because Gertie's also a great friend and knows Lisa needs someone to, like, stabilize her in a way and put her on the right path so she can get it done and then be done.
That was a good Gertie intervention, unlike the last one she tried at the red flag party with Lisa and Larsa. That one did not go over well, but I'm glad she did at this.
Gertie is such the person you want on your side. It's like wild to me. Like, even if we like fast forward to that dinner with Adriana and her saying ratchet to Kiki. And as soon as she said that, Gertie was like, whoa,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
No, you know, like Gertie is such a good friend to anybody. I mean, truthfully, I think if anybody on that cast asked for Gertie to do something, she would stop whatever it was. I mean, she went on the freaking cruise, which is like why it's a whole storyline, because right. Julia asked her to drop everything and do it. Like, be nice to Gertie, everyone.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts, gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
What do you think about Lisa taking notes?
I love it.
Okay.
First off, these women say things all the time and they act as if there's not a camera filming them and they're right. Everything that they're saying. I think Lisa is someone who does need, who is kind of all over the place. Like she's mentioned, she has ADHD. She needs a place to collect her thoughts. She writes it down because you know who keeps saying, what did I do to you? What did I do to you? Larsa says that. So you know what? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what you did to me. Here's a list. And you know what I would have done too? I would have taken notes on every single person and sent it to the group chat.
Boom.
Collaborate with me if you'd like to.
A collaborative note. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's welcome to put their own comments about every person. We could go ahead. You could do it anonymously too.
Or what about printing it out and taping it on their hotel room doors?
Perfect. Give Stephanie's memo for the plane and then also what Lisa thinks about you. What did you think about the notes though?
I understand like them being annoyed by it, but I think they're the reaction to going to the place of like, let's put your phone in a basket is ridiculous. And like they're treating her like she's 5 years old kind of. And like,
yes.
Also like, again, if you're going to have her do that, everybody has to do that.
And Julia, who has two young boys, she's just adopted, said that without thinking like why she would need her phone. And
no,
Marisol
it's
to say,
crazy.
Marisol to be like, Jody can't take care of your kids. Like that's not what real love is. Like
the judgment on that whole situation from Marisol was next level. I really didn't like that.
I was like, stop telling Lisa what to do. Just like you guys. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, she's getting smarter. Again, don't mess with my girls. I'll defend them even when they're wrong.
Speaking of somebody who I think is dead wrong in this episode, Stephanie had a bad episode, in my opinion. I was over it when it first happened at Marisol's party, but like the continued holding the private jet over the other women and like acting like it's like something, some prize to be won, even though you've already said, I'm going to fly everybody to, we're going to Marbella. I'll fly everybody there. It's a 20-minute flight, whatever. The fact that we're still like holding this over, it's like, you know what? I don't trust you guys not to do this on my plane, and we're gonna go back and we're gonna review the rules where you can't. Did you watch the after show where she talked about some of the rules? No pooping on her private plane in the bathroom.
Guess what I'm doing? I'm waiting and I'm doing it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm taking. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yep. No, we're saving it up for her plane.
I'm chugging coffee. I'm drinking apple cider vinegar. I'm taking a laxative and I'm getting on that plane. Going, oops.
I'm wearing zippers all over my pants.
I'm doing
glitter everywhere. Full glam at the table.
Mm-hmm. My dirtiest shoes.
Oh, and it's like some of the rules I actually understand, but it's the way that they're delivered of like this power trip of like, I have this private jet that you should all want. The fact that they even had this conversation where they were like, you know, we need to tell Lisa that she's not welcome on this flight. Larsa's like, I don't feel safe being on the same flight as her. What the fuck are we talking about here?
Larsa, take the 2.5 hour drive and get in the Sprinter van. Like, if you don't feel safe, don't ruin it for the other girls. Get in your own car. I'm also at this point, the Sprinter van. I'll take first class commercial. I don't want to be on this plane.
Right. It's just, there's too many rules. It's too.
And then you're like going to put someone in jail on the plane, like a one person room. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. I don't want to talk to any of you bitches.
I want some
anymore.
Alone time on this fucking group trip, you know?
Exactly.
Wait, it's literally, I'm literally going to tweet this out after we stop recording. It's literally giving in Bridesmaids when Kristen Wiig is like, this is a very strict plane.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, it's like, so I'm like, Stephanie, you win me over when you like go head to head with some of the castmates. I like that. Like, I like keeping Alexia on her toes. I think like that's great. But then when you play the money card, it's annoying. Nobody gives a shit that you have all this money. I'm sorry, I'm cursing on your podcast.
No, I love cursing. Do it.
Okay,
more.
Great. But I'm like, nobody cares that you have a plane. Like, it's nice and that's great. But let me tell you how cheap airfare is in Europe compared to America. I could pop on a Ryanair flight for literally $45 and get to Marbella also in 22 minutes. So like, don't try to hold this over that you've got like this great shit. Like, sorry,
it's annoying. It's like, it's, yes. And it unfortunately what adds to it for her is that she's a new person in this group. Yeah. And it's like, who gave her all this power? Like, who, like, the, it's so wild watching Marisol, Alexia, and Larsa, who are three OGs of this show.
Yeah.
Because Stephanie has a jet, they're like letting her run this little show right now. And I'm like, this isn't adding up to me. There's like, I reject this.
I don't understand too, because I'm like, and you know, Julia is seething that she was not in that end scene with them doing the yes. seating chart, like that she got stuck, left at the table with the rest of them. Like, I was cracking up being like, because I know Julia was probably like, no, they're conspiring without me. Like, oh God, is Stephanie going to take my place? But I need Stephanie. Like, you just knew the wheels were turning. Like, I'm stuck with this group. I'm stuck with like Adriana and her microaggressions over here. Like, what the hell?
So
I'm mad at her, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's sort of the last thing to really talk about here. So they had these day trips where Alexia and them had gone to make tiles, and she made an A+J tile, which I was shook by, honestly. But then on the other group, it was Lisa, Adriana, Gertie, and Kiki, and Adriana made really good points to Lisa, as I said, about getting her to unfollow Marcus. And she was like, yep. Listen, I get you don't want Larsa to boss you around. And that is why Lisa was not unfollowing him. Like, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
But again, you're giving them something to hold against you and to really hold over your head. So just fucking do it. So she unfollows and they all make a pact not to tell anybody about it, which I don't really totally get, but like, whatever. And then immediately at dinner, Adriana's like, great news, Larsa. Lisa unfollowed Marcus. She's like, oh, I don't remember making the pact, because Kiki from across the table is like, Adriana, we made a pact not to say this. Like, she called it out as she should.
And it was because they thought Kiki was going to say something, by the way. The pact was because they thought Kiki would run back and say it. So it was really
and Adriana
for her.
Was the one. Yeah, exactly. And Kiki was the one to call out the hypocrisy. And then in response, Adriana calls Kiki ratchet, which is, of course, especially when delivered towards a Black person, is a microaggression, and just it's all sorts of wrong. And just it was Adriana this morning or last night. I don't remember. She's been responding to people on Instagram saying, I meant to say wretched and I said the wrong word, which like you can believe that or not. But either way, she told Kiki this word and it would just
double down on it, though, too.
Yeah,
right?
She did. Like, oh, in the moment, she totally doubled down.
Like, she doesn't even say, oh, I meant to say miserable. She says that on the after show. Oh, I meant to say miserable. And she's like doubles down on it. So it's like, you meant what you said. You're also a very smart woman. Like,
yes,
you
she's going
know
to Harvard.
You're going to Harvard. You speak 5 languages. You've been to 58 different countries. You're giving these tours of all this knowledge, which I was like, I would love to hire her as a tour guide. She's so knowledgeable. And then you're going to play stupid. As Bethany Frankel once said, you can't play stupid and smart.
There we fucking go. And that's such a good juxtaposition in the same episode to have shown us, as you said, all that knowledge she had. And then she just doesn't know the meaning of this one word. It landed like a thud. Kiki immediately defended herself. Gertie.
You took her down.
Really did. She was like, you're too old to be speaking like this.
Well, she used her argument to Marisol weeks ago against her, right? Like,
yes,
calling Marisol
so
old. And
so
then you
true.
Call her, like, Kiki's like, oh, okay. So obviously old is an insult to you, which is why you did it to Marisol. I'm going to do it right back to you because you
That's
are too
point.
Old to be saying these things to me. Then she brings up the fact of, like, who's watching Kiki's daughters. I'm like, so you are doubling down in another way to insult Kiki. Enough.
Also, Kiki's a single mother. Like, what? Like, why are you bringing that up as like a Kiki is on this trip because this is a really good job opportunity for her.
Yes.
And she's making money to provide for her kids and all these people in Haiti, by the way, who are like depending on her for money, basically. And like
Adriana was a single mother.
Yes. So to call that out was really annoying. And it almost felt uncharacteristic. Like, the whole thing felt uncharacteristic of Adriana to see this between her and Kiki. Like, it felt like. And maybe it's not, but there was something that like really like incongruous for me to watch that happen with her. and Kiki, and I really love both of them, but it was a really bad moment for Adriana. And like, again, the doubling down and the...
Because Julia, who just adopted two young Black boys, is also telling Adriana, don't worry about it. Kiki's overreacting. And it's like, if you can't understand the gravity of what was just said there, it actually makes me, I'm uncomfortable the fact that you are now raising these boys.
That's a good call out too.
And I freaking hate Julia. Sorry.
It's hard to watch her. It honestly is.
And I'm like, also just like, everything she does is just like, it's slimy to me. And so like, when I heard her say that, I was like, so Adriana, who you can't stand, who you were like, I don't want her in the van. Then she goes in the other van. You're like, why is she mad at me? Blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden you're defending her against Kiki for something that is not Kiki's fault and was said to her so inappropriately. Like, shut up.
Yeah. It was fucking annoying. And then Stephanie gets up and cries, storming out. And Marisol and Alexia and Larsa follow her. And Marisol is like, that was disgusting. What Adriana and Kiki were doing was disgusting. They ruined that entire situation. And I was just like, disgusting? Like, this doesn't even hold a candle to fights that we've seen in public places between some other cast
members. We don't want them to know we're American. They know, babe.
Like, what? That was crazy. I was shocked at how much they feigned, like, offense to that.
Did you notice what Stephanie was wearing?
What was she wearing?
All red. And yet she didn't wear it on the all red night the night before. I'm just saying, they're all calculated.
They're all calculated.
Like, okay, she wants to just be the star on a different night. Like, okay. Just saying.
Well, Stephanie also, like, in the after show, she was really placing all the blame on Kiki. And I was just like, this is so, that's weird to me.
What happened at the reunion too? Because Kiki's also like on this really interesting press tour right now because she's unfollowed Gertie and she's trying to like kind of defend what, like why she did that, which I'm like, okay, something happened at the reunion because you've kind of gone a little bit against Gertie throughout the season, who she's only been a good friend to you. So like, what happened? This reunion is also
going to be closer. There's a lot more to the Gertie and Kiki friendship that we don't know about.
Oh, you think so? Or that you know?
Because I had her on the show. And I do know. So there's like certain things I can't really say. But like, there's more to it that has not been addressed publicly. And like, I don't know what it's going to be on the reunion or not. Like, I don't know what happens to the reunion. I just know that like, in past seasons, Gertie and Kiki aren't as good friends as I think that we
thought they were.
Their friendship was like not as like long lasting and strong, I think, as like it was presenting as for a little bit there. So I think that like, I don't know. I think it seems like a really complicated situation, but I agree. Something happens at this reunion and I don't know what it is. And it's kind of like an apology tour, I feel.
She is. And like, it's like Julia, right when the season started, you know, remember she posted that stupid story
with
and terrible font that you could barely read, kind of like trying to like get ahead of the Gertie situation. And I'm like, no, you guys just all suck. It's like, it's making for a great season. Don't get me wrong, but you all suck.
No, it's.
Yeah.
Wow. These were two really layered episodes.
Totally. I'm like, I could tell you, I could talk to you for hours about this.
No,
I'm like,
there's
so much nuance and like craziness and just like you said, layers. These episodes are just two large onions.
I think some people, are you enjoying OC overall? I'm curious because some people really aren't and some people are. I'm curious where you fall overall.
I'm enjoying it. Like, I think first off, we have like a lack of content right now. So I don't even want to be greedy about not having stuff. But, and again, as someone who doesn't like Tamara, I understand. I think because we're getting some pushback on her, whether it's going to fail or not, it is making it an interesting dynamic. And like I said, like I like, especially on OCs, like I'm rooting for nobody. So like when someone's terrible to someone else, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, okay, point on their side.
Right.
Like, yeah. Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. I think that
you're a lover though of shows. Like, I find you appreciate all.
I am. I am worried about the direction of it. If they don't sort of pivot away from this after, I don't mind a little bit of blogger drama, a little bit whatever, you know, if I instigate something, but like we're dipping back into that pool six times in one season. That's too much.
My least favorite, and we mentioned this before, is like when they just go after one person, I don't like it. So like, I didn't like them all ganging up on Gertie. I think they ganged up on Lisa, but Lisa still has like Adriana and Gertie there, where I don't feel like she had that earlier in the season. So I wasn't loving that. And then I don't love like going after Katie, because it's like, whatever. Like Katie is Katie. So like when it gets like spread around, mm-hmm. then it makes it more fun. Like the New Orleans episodes have been really fun for me because they kind of took a step back from just like
for sure.
attacking her.
Yeah. And I think at least on Miami, they're like, they're shifting when they're kind of
they
going
spread
out.
Spread the love of who they attack.
They do.
Which is
they
so
do.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, it's really considerate of them. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Courtney, this has been so great. And I'm so happy I finally got to have you on the podcast. Really love breaking it down
with
you.
I'm like smiling
and I also,
this whole time. Like we're like talking like these people are so bad. And I'm like having the biggest smile because there's nothing more fun. And I will just say, sorry to cut you off on that because that's something I do all the time. But like as Mary's been out and I've been having more people on the pod and going, you know, elsewhere, is I will say I have been influenced in what a lot of people, especially you, have said about certain housewives or characters on these shows that have helped me like change my opinion or be more accepting. Like so I'm just really appreciative of having new opinions because I think it's also changed mine a bit or been maybe I'm becoming more understanding.
Oh,
so thank
wow.
you.
We love growth, Courtney. We love
I know.
Growth.
Am I growing? I'm like, and then once Mary's comes back, then, you know, I'll go back to being
there
like, oh, it's I've got a one track mind. But until then.
No, but I totally agree with you because I don't listen to other Bravo podcasts because I don't want to steal ideas and I don't want to take opinions. Like I really want to somehow be mostly in a bubble when it comes to like what I listen to, you know, because mm-hmm. we don't want to, but having people on your show is a way to get exposed to new opinions. And that's a nice, I always like that, you know, and I also like that, like, I like that we agree on a lot, but there, you and I don't agree on Tamara, for example, and that's a big thing not to agree on, but we can still talk about it in a way that's like civilized and fun. And that's, you know,
a respectful conversation without like name calling makes things just so much more fun to be like, okay. And like, you know, I can be like, okay, well, you're wrong, but I do appreciate you giving me that lane to think about.
Talk about media training. That's good media training right
no,
there.
No, I will say, I'm telling you, people have really kind of turned me on to understanding that Tamara is a necessary evil. So I will just say, again, I don't like her, but I am understanding what she's bringing and I'm trying to be more accepting.
Bless your heart, Courtney. Bless your heart. From your lips to God's ears. When and where can people listen to Judgy Girls? How many episodes a week is it? Do all the plugs before we...
Guys, we are all over the place. We have our Flashback Friday series. That's every Friday. So we're jumping back into old classic episodes of different franchises.
So
and then you'll find like 2 to 3 extra pods a week that are talking about everything from Miami to McBee's to Orange County to like everything in between. So... Come hang out after you listen to this one.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you for having me.
Enough Bravo podcast.
Never.
Of course, thank you for coming on. We'll do this again soon, I'm sure. And hopefully I get to see you in person at some point soon.
I know. I've got to make the trip out to New York.
You really do. And likewise to LA.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest bookings, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.